You are listening to Sports Day here for Red Energy, World Cancer's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That is Red Energy. And across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. When Jared's phone rings and I see who's on it, it's always interests me. This is a very important phone call, so I'm not sure if he's going to come back during this chat. We've got Aussie basketball great Chris Anstey on the line. I want to talk about the Boomers. Chris, welcome to you. We did a lot of things right last night in the win over Nigeria, but I just have a feeling we're going to have to be a whole lot better if we want a medal.
Yeah, we will. And you're spot on. We did a lot right. We did plenty wrong. And in some regards, that's a real positive sign because people tend to forget Nigeria have 8 guys who were on NBA rosters last year. They're very athletic. They're very talented. And they came at us with their physicality and their athleticism. And we withstood that in the first half. And, you know, Brian Gorgian's always had a saying that if you continually apply pressure over the course of a game, you'll eventually break a team. It might not be in the first half or even until the last few minutes, but you will. And I think what we saw was the defensive pressure of the Boomers led by Dante Exum and Matisse Thybulle and the offensive pressure of Paddy Mills and Joe Ingles. It eventually broke Nigeria and we really blew them out at the end of, in the end of that fourth quarter. So some very pleasing signs. Like I said, at the same time, Aaron Baines was down. He's a notoriously slow starter to international events, so we expect him to get better. And, you know, Dante Exum on the offensive end did a lot wrong, had the right intent, did a lot wrong, but we forget he's only played less than a dozen games in the last 12 months, so we expect great improvement from those two guys in particular.
Yeah, I thought Dante's his energy was great. Like every time he had the ball or went near it, I know he made some mistakes, but he really got his teammates up and about, and we sort of know what we're going to get from a Paddy Mills. What did you make of what the team looked like without Simmons? I mean, I know we're not used to seeing what Australia looks like with Simmons, but did we operate differently to what you thought we might?
No, I thought it was pretty, it was what we expected. And the thing is, a few people have asked over the last few days, do we miss Ben Simmons? And the answer is no. And I say that because we've never had him.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
What we've been able to do is keep that cohesiveness, keep that, you know, run the same types of sets. Yeah, there hasn't been a re-education by adding a really big piece. The four core guys of that group have been together now. So what we see is, you know, in a lot of ways, what we saw in Rio. Defensively, we've dialed it up a notch in the addition of Matisse Thybulle. I just think on top of Dante, on top of Aaron Baines, you know, 2 weeks ago, he'd only met Paddy and I think he'd only met Dally. He hadn't met any of the other guys on the team. So
yeah,
whatever he's doing already, he's going to do a lot more as his tournament rolls on.
That's kind of one of the big things about international basketball, isn't it? I mean, we saw it later with Team USA all over the shop against France. It's completely different to domestic basketball. The cohesion just isn't necessarily there. I mean, even with preseason camps, right?
Well, Team USA, as you watch them in the lead up and as you watch them against France, they're really, really dependent on talent. They're really dependent on one-on-one breakdown, moves off the dribble.
Yep.
They're not used to defending on the other end of the floor, motion with guys who don't have the basketball in their hands. They're used to being a lot more stagnant. And they're absolutely going to beat some teams on talent alone. And I thought for the most part they might end up beating France on talent alone. But France's ball movement, that what they were able to do as a group was a little bit too much. And then, you know, without going across every single game, but what you saw from Luka Doncic in the Slovenian game and what he was able to do to Argentina with some role players around him was really, really impressive. So to go back to your first point, yeah, we did a lot right. We need to do a lot better because there are a lot of teams out there who have their eyes on a medal.
Chris Anstey is the Aussie basketball great. Jared's back from his phone call. Must have been an important one. Jared, just talking about the fact that we got over Nigeria, did what we needed to do.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be a whole lot better when we come up against Italy on Wednesday night.
Indeed. Sorry, neighbour. I got a phone call from head office at home and just needed to have a little chat, but everything's all okay. It's been a really interesting start, but a lot of the focus is also, I think, in Australia on the women's game and our potential for a gold medal. And that's certainly been knocked around because of Liz Cambage, but it may well, as some suggest, help because the cohesion within the group may be even better.
You know what? There are so many similarities in this Olympic Games between the men's and the women's team in so far as two of the most talented players in Ben Simmons and Liz Cambage maybe don't quite fit into the cohesiveness of Australian basketball as well as the rest of the group. So while we'll undoubtedly miss their talent, the sum of the rest of the parts, I think we might find to be even greater. So the Opals are in a very similar position. Team USA are the yardstick, and they haven't played yet, so we don't know what they're like, but I expect them to start the tournament really strongly. They've had a little bit more time together than what the men have, but two genuine medal chances. But as we mentioned with the Boomers, I think there are so many teams that are a real chance for a medal. I think we lose sight oftentimes in any international sport as to how much the rest of the world's improving. And I think Tokyo in just 2 days of men's competitions already reminded us of that.
Did you still, Chris, although, you know, we made some errors, did you still see the makings of a medal team? Well, from what you saw against Nigeria.
I did. I saw nervousness in Jock Landale. It's his first Olympic preparation. He's got a big responsibility in that starting four spot. He just looked a little bit passive. No doubt he'll be better for the run. Matisse Thybul, I did. I just think there's a couple more gears in what we do. There's a greater ability to score the basketball, and certainly there's a greater understanding of what we want to get done as a group. And I think one thing that Brian Gorgian did really well in the first game, he got through all 12 players. He got a look at everybody. And while that may have cost us a few points in this game, I think moving forward, if we need one of those guys due to injury or due to foul trouble, it's really important to have had them see some court time in the lead-up game. So we've put ourselves in a good position. We have a very, very different proposition against Italy. Very different, less athletic, but shoot the ball much better than Nigeria, move the ball much better than Nigeria. So a completely different assignment on Wednesday evening our time. Really fascinated to see how they go against them, because we should be okay with Germany.
Chris, the coverage is interesting. In some sports, it doesn't matter that there's no crowd. Other sports, it matters a lot. I don't think any sport is impacted more than AFL football, from what I've seen, without a crowd. How have you viewed the spectacle from your lounge chair?
I've enjoyed watching the sport. I guess being an old and retired sports person and looking through the lens of a coach, at times you see the game and not the surrounds. So I've enjoyed it. I love international basketball. You've already mentioned, Sam, it's a very different game to what domestic basketball is and to what the NBA is. It's a lot of fun to watch
differently, Chris.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, it's physical. Travels are called more tightly. It's such a different game. So you see adjustments. You see completely different styles. I think one thing we'll see to the Australian basketball fan is just how well the rest of the world shoots the basketball. And if there's been a weakness in Australian basketball over the last decade or so, is we just don't have many knockdown shooters, just real high level elite shooters. And that's why Chris Golding is so dominant here in Australia, but we don't have many Chris Goldings. And what we'll see as we start to see the rest of the world is that every single nation's got two or three Chris Goldings. Mm. And when they're on the floor together, that's a scary proposition.
Chris, we'll chat later in the week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, gents.
Chris Anstey there about our potential medals in the men's and the women's basketball. It was pretty incredible, Jared, last night. And I'm an NBA lover without being obsessed with it. The difference in how they actually officiate the games is incredible. Like, I don't know another sport where it's almost a different game. I mean, you watch the NBA, they never call travel. LeBron can take four or five steps, and they just don't call it.
Why not?
Well, they say that it's just a better spectacle if you just let the best players play and get away with 50-50 things. And also,
I think we've adopted the same model, haven't we?
Yeah, potentially.
You push in the back, no problem. 10-metre kicks, no problem. Throw the ball, no problem. Bloke going for the ball, if you feel like it, pay a tackle. If not, it's prior opportunity.
Yeah, if you touch someone in the NBA, it's a foul. You rugby tackle someone in the Olympics, it could be
played.
It's actually quite amazing if you had highlight reels of both games. People would think it's the same in soccer. It's just not. Usually a foul on one side of the world is a foul somewhere else. I think the Boomers are still a good chance to medal, based on what I'm seeing.
Yep.
And Team USA are just a whole bunch of individuals that don't really look like they want to be there. They were a farcical against France. They got done late last night.
Yeah, they got smacked. They didn't get done. They got smacked.
Favourite sport so far that you've been watching? Have you been surprised by anything? Or
Well, I'll tell you what I don't like.
Yeah.
I'll go with the reverse.
We'll start with the negative.
I turned on and I saw the tennis. That's the last thing I want to watch when I'm looking for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I like the kayaking.
Ash Barty played like that too.
Yeah, well, Ash Barty was the person they showed up. I mean, then they had the football, the soccer. Well, they're the two sports for me have got.
Yeah, you
know,
I understand.
You know, they're peripheral sports. They're not Olympic sports for me.
I get it, because you can watch them at any time of the year.
So my only Olympic experience to date live has been the whitewater rafting, which I like.
The slalom?
Yep.
Yeah. Really good. Geez, they've got a lot of upper body strength in that.
Oh, amazing. Amazing control of the kayak, obviously. But I haven't seen enough of it just yet. I'm watching a little bit of surfing. The surfing's...
Hey, can I just ask
sadly you, in, you know, slop.
Can I ask you about the surfing? Lawrence, just bear with me for a second here. We can't play the audio because we don't have the rights. Steph Gilmore, after she got eliminated, her interview was amazing, I thought. She got out and she said, look, I prioritised the wrong wave.
Yeah.
I got it wrong.
Yeah.
I let my opponent get it.
That's right.
And I got it wrong. I thought to myself, Jared, I know it's obvious for someone like you, but for a novice like me with surfing, isn't it amazing that it's not just about how good a surfer you are? There's decision making in which wave
absolutely,
you go for.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of luck, obviously, but it's not like you go out to a man-made swell where every wave is the same. And it's whoever's the better surfer wins.
Yep.
That's not it.
No, it's very much.
And what an amazing element to the sport that I didn't really consider.
Well, that's when it's head-to-head like it is at this stage of the game. And, I mean, when you've got rubbishy surf, and it's rubbish surf that they're surfing in, the odd wave comes through that's shaped better.
Right.
And if you let that person go and that enables them to be able to do two turns instead of your one turn, you've just gifted them that wave.
Yeah,
and
it
makes it even more frustrating if you were in position to A, catch that wave.
Yeah.
And B,
which Steph was, right?
Exactly. And she had priority. So it was her decision to let the other person take it.
Oh.
Generally in a good swell, you know there's one coming behind it. And you let good waves go because you think there's a better one coming. But in this stuff where... you're lucky to get a turn in. If something shapes up that allows you to do two turns and you don't take it, that is
problems.
Playing with the devil.
I mean, we shouldn't laugh. I'm not laughing on Steph's expense. It was just a really interesting part of the sport for me. And she was so honest about it.
Mm.
I got it wrong. I stuffed up.
Yep.
I paid for it.
Mm.
And I'm out. We're going to...
Cutthroat, isn't it?
Very cutthroat.
Isn't it?
We're going to keep with Tokyo next. We get the latest from the pool with Julian Lindon. A big day for the Australians.